though he's been making the rounds from Kansas City to Phoenix. See what he's up to on the cover of the Register Guard sports section online, registerguard.com. On Twitter, the handle is at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. I don't have to fly anywhere anytime soon, so I'm feeling good.
You've become a homebody. So, by the way, congratulations. Couple of national writing awards. I'm curious as to the process. Is it like the Hall of Fame? Do they put you in a particular room and you wait for somebody to come knock on your door?
Well, it's probably the furthest that you can get from the Hall of Fame process. What it is, I think, is proof that there are way too many sports writing awards when they're giving them to me. But, in all seriousness, I work with some really great people here. A lot of people who come to work every day and, do a good job. And work their butts off just to try to deliver a good product for their subscribers. So, whether that comes with awards or not, doesn't really matter. It's not really why we do it, but it's kind of a cool thing just for all the people I work with.
Well done, by the way, in case you get the Academy Award or some, major award. By the way, would it be the ultimate insult if your editor said, "Hey, Meek, you just won an award. You want to knock out the article about it?"
they did not make me write the story about it. I think that was my reward. They gave me the time off. I didn't have to write up a little blurb to go in the paper.
Nice. Well, I've said many times, and I even said it to one of the bosses, one of the bakers, years ago. I was like, "Hey, I did time North Jersey, New York, Philly, pound for pound. I'll take the Register Guard up with anyone." So I know we're joking about it. I am offering serious congratulations and much deserved.
Well, thank you.
All right, let's get to what you wrote about today, which was just terrible. How could you even work in this industry? No, seriously. MLB, I know you're a big fan of our national pastime, and we've talked about the Chiefs and the NFL. Obviously, you've covered and followed college basketball and football. I'm kind of curious, where does the NBA rank with you as far as the sports you follow?
Well, as somebody who grew up in a place that was not an NBA market, I've always been kind of a casual NBA fan. It's never been at the top of the list for me. When baseball opening day rolls around, I'm usually more excited about that than I am about, the NBA playoffs, which are right around the corner. But I have become a little more of an NBA watcher since I moved here. Obviously, with the Blazers just up the road, I follow them. I do pay a little more attention. But, there's just something about the sports that you followed in your formative years that really stick with you. And so growing up without an NBA team to really call my own, it was hard for me to develop a really strong attachment to the NBA.
Could be worse. You could be a Knicks fan, but
yeah, sometimes it's better to be a fan of nobody.
So a week ago last night, the college basketball season ended. North Carolina beat Gonzaga. You called it the World Free Throw Championships. Man, a lot of attention on the refs. And as you wrote, the game moved with the expediency of a congressional hearing. I thought that Mark Few was very gracious, but you look back on it, it was a close game as opposed to a well-played game. How much do the refs detract from a game in a case like this?
Well, I thought they really screwed it up. I've seen both sides of this argument. I've seen people try to say, well, they were just doing their job. If you want to blame somebody, blame the players for fouling so much. It certainly was not an artful game. It was not easy to watch. And I do think the two teams have some responsibility for that. But I think as an official, you've got to have some awareness of the situation. And I just thought in the second half, those guys let it get completely out of control. Calling every little thing just ruined the flow of the game. I would have liked to see what would have happened if those two teams had just been able to go at it, because they were two physical teams. They both threw the ball in the post. They both had big guys down there. I would have liked to see them just go at it. And it may not have been any better than what we got. When Shimmick Karnowski got the ball 2 feet from the basket, it's not like he could put it in there anyway. So the players certainly did their part to make that kind of an ugly game. But I just thought the officials picked the wrong time to try to enforce every little part of the NCAA rule book as they did.
So last week I was asking people what they would advise Jordan Bell, Dylan Brooks, and Tyler Dorsey. And then I asked, what do they think they would do? So, wow, Dorsey hires an agent. He's gone. He had the really strong finish. So beyond finances, you think he made the right move, or is he in a danger zone where he might not even get drafted?
Well, I'll say this. I think there is a possibility that he will not get drafted, but I don't think that necessarily would mean that he made the wrong move to leave. The thing that I'd heard about Tyler Dorsey throughout the year is that he was one of those guys who would be okay with going overseas to play professionally if the NBA doesn't happen for him. And I think it's possible he just got to a point where he said, hey, I'm ready to play for a paycheck. Whether that's overseas or that's in the NBA, it's time for me to start my professional career. And I will never begrudge a guy that opportunity. You know, if you've got a chance to go get paid and you decide that's better than coming back and playing for free, you know, it doesn't take an accounting major to say that could be a smart choice. So, you know, is Tyler Dorsey going to be an NBA first-round pick? No, he's not. And I think the question for him was, could he make himself into a first-round pick with more time in school? And personally, I'm not sure that he could. You know, I think he's a very good player, but does he have just the athleticism and, you know, the genetic makeup to be a first-round pick? I'm not sure he does. So it's possible that the right move for him at this point was to go ahead and start his professional career, give it a shot in the NBA, and if not, I think he'll go overseas and play for a long time and make a lot of money and have a really good career.
With the eternal understanding that Royce Freeman means I'm certain of nothing, but what's your gut telling you now about the other two guys? I think Brooks was gone anyway. I'm kind of on the fence about Bell. So what are you thinking if you were a betting man? Both, one, none? What do you think is going to become of them come the next couple weeks?
Well, I think Tyler Dorsey was the first domino, and if anything, Dorsey leaving probably makes it more likely that that Bell and Brooks leave. And I think it makes sense for both of them for different reasons. You know, I think Bell probably could improve his stock the most, but you know, he can look at what happened to Chris Boucher and see how fragile it could be. You know, that would be the worst case scenario. You come back and you get hurt, and you know, he could be drafted in maybe the early second round, maybe the late first round this year. And so it's a gamble to come back. And I think for both those guys too, they have to ask the question, you know, can they top what happened this year? If they come back and they lose in the Sweet 16 next year, after making it to the Final Four, that probably wouldn't feel very good. So I think for both those guys, there's an argument, kind of the old Costanza argument, that you leave on a high note. You know, you get out when it's going good.
Nice. We're talking with Austin Meeke, the Register Guard. Let's get to football novel concept. They opened some spring practices to fans and media. You were there last Friday. Did you have to get like one of those hoods pulled over your head then driven to a secret location? You know, I've been hearing about energy moving depth charts. You got to see one. You know, what was your impression?
Well, it's different. Everything feels different, starting with the fact that, yeah, we were able just to walk right in and watch an entire Duck football practice. You know, when we were texting about this earlier, I forgot. It actually was not the first full practice I've watched. I watched a couple under the previous regime, but I always had to sort of sneak in incognito, because technically those were just for the season ticket holders. There was no official media access to practice previously, but it's one of the things that Willie Taggart has changed, one of many things that Willie Taggart has changed. And it's just, you know, it's a different vibe. It feels younger to me, you know, because with the previous staff, there were a lot of guys who had been around a long time. And, you know, the previous staff, I think, sort of had that feeling of experience, maybe, and routine, and you know, just very established. And this feels a little more like, you know, a bunch of younger guys, you know, hungry guys out there, you know, trying to set the tone a little bit. So it's hard to read too much into one spring practice, even though it's way more than we're used to seeing.
Yep.
But the thing I'll say is it feels different. Everything feels different.
Yeah, that seems to be the vibe. I want to get to MLB. The Cubs raised the banner last night. Man, they had everybody out there. I'm sure they tried to resurrect Tinkers to Evers to Chance, but a ring with 108 diamonds. Are the Cubs risking becoming one of those annoying championship teams that are always in your face?
Well, are they risking becoming annoying? I think they passed that threshold a long time ago. But as a championship team, yes. I think it was inevitable that the year the Cubs finally won the World Series, everybody who's not a Cubs fan would get absolutely sick of it in a short order of time, which has been the experience for me, although I can't really point the finger too much because I'm sure that everybody who was around me after the Royals won the World Series 2 years ago just wondered, why can this guy not shut up about it? So I guess I ought to give him their day in the sun. But yes, as a non-Cubs fan, it has started to get a little bit annoying for me.
Right. You made your annual picks, and I have today's paper for evidence. So you have the Mariners winning the wild card. So what struck you to make that call? Because that's now the longest playoff drought in baseball.
Well, I think that was purely a sentimental pick, if you want to be honest about it, because you haven't seen a lot from the Mariners in the first week of the season that would tell you that that was a very smart prediction. Hey, they were close last year. They've got a veteran team. It feels like they were right on the edge, and so I guess the theory would be that, well, you give them one more year, and maybe it all comes together. You know, the downside of that is they have an aging team in some places. And, you know, is Felix Hernandez still the pitcher he was in his prime? I'm not sure that he is. So maybe the window has passed for this Mariners team to make the playoffs. But mostly I just want it to happen. I know a lot of Mariners fans around here. It's kind of by default the local team for people. And, you know, having endured a long playoff drought with my team, I know how that feels to every year get your hopes up and be disappointed. So mostly I just want it to happen for the Mariners fans that I know.
Well, how thoughtful of you. let's wrap with this. After a near miss, did the Cleveland fans get their banner? Who do you think plays for the world? Plays English, Steve. Who plays in the World Series this October?
Well, that was my pick. I picked the Indians to win it. I actually picked a rematch of last year's World Series.
Wow.
It felt like a little bit of a cop-out. But I do think the Indians and the Cubs clearly are still the two best teams in their league. And I really like the Indians, as much as that pains me to say about a division rival.
Yep.
I just think there's not many holes with their team. Their pitching staff's been together forever. Their lineup's really good. They've got one of the best young players in the game, Francisco Lindor. So that's my pick. I'm picking the rematch, and I'm picking the Indians to bring home the banner this year.
All right. Man, that would be a novelty. End the 108 years, then since 1948, that would be crazy. Catch all his work in the Register Guard sports section. Follow on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Great stuff as always, Austin. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. You too.